Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. My name is Marianne and welcome to today's podcast. Today I'd like to talk about a topic that's of course it's close to the heart, but not just my heart, but it's close to a lot of us because, you know, especially those of us that are believers, and I want to believe that many of us are Christians. Many of us are Christians. Many of us know about God. Many of us have probably grown up in church. Some, well, if not all, some of us have grown up in church. We know the ways of God. So there's this really important thing that has been in my spirit and in my heart that I'd like to share with us. And before I go there, I'd like to quote a verse. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we read that from the Message translation, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Which day is this? It's the day of the Lord, you know, the day of the coming of the Lord. That's what this day is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That's from the New King James Version. If you listen to this, or if you look at this, if you have your Bible or you have your notebook, it'd be nice for you to just note this down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, or like the Message translation says, the meeting. Do not forsake the meeting together, the meetup, the what we would ordinarily call the fellowship. Do not forsake it. Do not neglect it. And this brings me to the topic of today. You know, I'd like to talk about this thing about the church, and I'd like to begin by asking, for those of us that are not going to church, why did we stop going to church? For those of us that stopped the assembling, why did you stop the assembling? What was your reason for this, you know, for that? Why did you stop gathering with other believers? It's not 2 years. It's actually a little over 2 years ago. I remember having a conversation with a woman of God. And, you know, we were talking about church. And we were concerned and alarmed at how many Christians are not going to church. When I say many Christians, I'm not talking about people who profess to be Christians, but I'm talking about people who are born again. People who have probably grown up or spent many years in church. They have served within the church. They have probably gotten married within the church, had their children within the church. Their reality has been the church for a better part of their lives. But yet, they got to a point where they stopped going to church. And it was a conversation that couldn't really have a conclusion. No, we didn't have an end. We didn't say, oh, yeah, this is the reason. And this is what needs to be done so that people can begin going to church. Unfortunately, we did not have what we'd call a solution. But it's something that I've been thinking about. You see, on a Sunday morning, if you're walking through, driving through an estate, you realize many cars are parked. The owners are at home, others are nursing a hangover, others are saying, oh well, Sunday is my day of rest, I'm not going anywhere. Different people doing different things. People are not going to church and they are not afraid or they are not embarrassed about the fact that they don't go to church anymore. And it got me wondering and asking myself so many questions. And I'm grateful because of the people I get to interact with. Because I get to meet with people who are very bold, very audacious. People who will openly say, hey, you know what? I stopped going to church. And I've asked a few people and I've gotten different responses. And these people are my friends and they won't stop being my friends, you know, because they don't go to church. No, they won't stop being my friends. These are people who are born again, but for one reason or another, they do not go to church. And one of my friends told me it's because of the setup of the church. Actually, majority of the people that don't go to church, they'll tell you the reason they don't go to church is because of the setup of the church. Not set up in the physical aspect. It's not set up in the sense of, oh, I don't like that we don't have air conditioning. No, it's not that. It's not about, I don't like because the seats are uncomfortable. I don't go to church because the seats or the songs. It's not that. It's a setup in the spiritual aspect. One was, like I said before, audacious enough to say the one-man syndrome is the reason why they stopped going to church. The one-man syndrome is that aspect of the man of God thing, the I'm better than the rest of you kind of aspect. And that has brought about this whole thing of making others feel inferior and others feel very, very superior. Unfortunately, the church in the last several years, probably in the last 10 years, if we all sat and observed and did our little research, we'll notice probably in the last, no, not 10 years, probably this began about 20 years in the Kenyan church, where the honor was taken overboard and people stopped honoring the men of God, the women of God as they ought to, and they began to idolize the men and the women of God, forgetting that these are people who have, let me say, character flaws like the rest of that, like the rest of the people. A man of God, a woman of God is just a human being who might have character flaws. They might wake up moody and they're not in the mood of speaking to people. They might not pick your calls. They might not do this or the other. Why? Because they're people and they have mood swings sometimes. I mean, they will behave just like you would behave, you know? And the problem is, over probably the last two decades or so, the church was taught the wrong concept of honor. And we were not taught to differentiate between honor and idolatry. We were not taught that. And so a lot of people fell in the era of idolatry, idolizing a man or a woman, you know, thinking they are above reproach, thinking they cannot be corrected, they cannot be found in any kind of a mistake. And then you see what that did was, it also brought about a whole breed of men and women of God who are not, I won't say matured enough, but let me say they did not have the character to go with this really great honor that was being bestowed upon them. Because you see, it's one thing for God to place you in a position, but we know that character is what will keep you there. And so we have a whole group of people that have been raised, have been blessed, and they've been given different seats of leadership, different responsibilities by God, of course. But because they lacked the character to go with the call in their lives, what happened is they ended up abusing the position of leadership and influence that God gave to them. And really, this abuse is what has really hurt a lot of people. And yes, we cannot pretend that it hasn't happened. We cannot act like people have not been abused in church. People have not felt manipulated in church. People have not felt taken advantage of, intimidated. All in the name of you need to honor, you need to honor, you need to honor. The truth is that has happened. That's the truth. And I think as believers, we need to get to the point and we acknowledge that, yes, there are things that have happened in the church that shouldn't really happen. Because see, at the end of the day, if God has called you for the people, then I believe with all my heart then that you're actually a servant. You're not the master. Just like Jesus said, whoever wants to be greatest among you must be the least. We are not called to be masters. We are called to be servants. We are called to serve the people of God. The big man syndrome or one man's show kind of thing, that does not work in the kingdom of God. It's not a representation of the heart of the Father. Because this big man syndrome, what that does is it makes the person, let's say in this instance, the man or the woman of God, it makes them feel as though they are a cut above the rest. You can't just talk to them. Oh, I don't want to repeat some things, but I just want to say, yes, you can't just talk to them anyway. You can't address them. You can't reach out to them. There's these whole do's and don'ts that you have to follow before you have access to these people. And you know, that's really a paradox. And I mean, these people are there for the people, right? Let's give a wild example. If you're a pastor and you have a membership of 30 people in your church, that means that God has called you to serve 30 people. Yeah, that's the thing. God has called you. He has given you oversight over 30 people. Can you imagine that these people have to beg and cajole and really go through? Oh, it's laughable because of how ridiculous sometimes it is that these people have to follow so much rules and procedures. It's like having an interview. Like you have to go through the first, second, third interview before you qualify to see the pastor, you know, and all that. And while, yes, I understand the pastors are also people, these men and women of God, they're also people, and they get tired and they're exhausted, and there are times when they really don't have the capacity to talk to people. Honestly, they are in that position. They are just not in a capacity to talk to everyone. There are times when they need to recharge, and that's perfectly understandable. But it can't be every time that you need to talk to them, it feels like you're filling a whole form. It's like you're trying to apply for a job in an international organization where they have to do all the background checks and call all your referees and ask them to send in their confidential reports and everything. I mean, those people who get such jobs in such organizations, they go through very gruesome interviews. And by the time they're getting the job, they feel like, oh yes, I made it. I qualified. I went through all that. It feels like it went through the fire and I came out. This is awesome. And they celebrate because after they toil, they finally got in it. But in the church, let's just talk and be real. Remove the gloves here and let's address the elephant in the room. Do men and women of God need to be honored? Absolutely. Unequivocally, yes. Unequivocal, that's an equivocal yes. By all means, they should be honored. It's biblical. It's the way of the kingdom. The language of the kingdom is honor. That's it. And it's not in any other way. There has to be honor. There has to be honor. That is not in dispute. I can never dispute that. But then again, there needs to be a delicate balance. Because even as a man of God, or the woman of God, or the servant of God, they also need to be careful. We all need to be careful that we do not get to a point where we this thing gets to our head. And you begin to think that you are really, really something special. That's why you're given oversight over the other people. We need to look at it from a stewardship perspective. That if God has given you stewardship or oversight over 300, 5,000 people, then that means you're a steward. And at the end of the day, you're accountable to God for those 5,000, 6,000, 300, 500, 10, whatever number of people God has given you charge over. And it is your responsibility then to lead them in the ways of God and to guide them and to guard them. That's really your responsibility as a man, as a woman of God, as a pastor, as a leader, in whichever capacity you have. You cannot allow people to idolize you. You cannot be idolized. You can see it, you notice it, you know that there are people that are, you know, you can tell when someone is really taking the honor thing overboard. And I think that you have a responsibility. You have a God-given responsibility to guide that person, put them back into the right path, show them that the person that they ought to be idolizing is Christ Jesus. Show them that the person they ought to reverence and honor with every being of their heart is Jesus Christ, and not any mortal human. And I think that if we can all learn that if we can all take our positions and recognize that the call of God is to servanthood, not to be master, then we're going to have a very different perspective. Jesus gave this example when he said that the greatest among you must be the servant. We see him serving his disciples. He took a towel and wrapped it around himself and he washed their feet. That was a sign of servanthood. That was service. That was service. Though being greater in all respects to them, but yet he also esteemed them. And the Bible also talks about esteem the other better than yourself. It doesn't say you members esteem each other better, but you know, esteem others differently. But esteeming each other, recognizing that you might have a leadership position, but it doesn't mean that the people that you're having leadership over are not gifted. There are people who are gifted that are sitting under you or under your leadership. There are people who have amazing talents that are sitting under your leadership. And the Lord allowed them to come and sit under your leadership because he knows that you have the capacity and he has anointed you with what they need to activate the very gifts that are in them. So really, it's not even about you. It's not about them coming to serve you. It's about them sitting there because of what you carry to activate. I like to use the word activate. To activate, because it's already there. You're not pouring something new in them. You're just activating whatever is already inside of them. You know, so this is the thing. As leaders, can we remember that God has brought people into our lives and that we are accountable to God for the lives and for the souls of these people? Can we remember that with every passing day, a day will come when we'll bow our knees before God and give an account for every person that God brought to us? Can we remember that we are stewards and that we are not owners? We don't own people. We don't own people. We are stewards. And it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. So yes, people are leaving church, partly because they've been wounded and hurt by the very people who are supposed to help them draw closer to God. But I want to believe that we are coming into a time of great awakening, where men and women of God shall arise, and the big man syndrome shall be broken. And we shall all realize that we are all the same before God, that the differences are just in assignment, but not in the value, that we are all equally valuable and lovable before God. I pray that we all rise to this awakening. And even as I talk about this, I'm not ignorant of the fact that it's not just the men of God. This is a two-way thing. There's what the man or the woman of God is doing, and there's what the member of the church is doing. So for today, we're looking at that. We'll be back next time, and we want to look at the people that go to church and sit down. Those people, what role do they have in all this? Because you see, we cannot just cut stones and say it's because of the pastors, the preachers, the prophets. That's the reason why people have left church. We cannot just leave it at that and say the blame lies squarely on them. And while they might have contributed, and while it's true, some of them might have manipulated and intimidated and all that, and cost a lot of people to have a lot of wounds and everything. While we acknowledge that, we don't lose sight of the fact that even the person that comes to church is required. The Bible talks about the Berean. And so you don't come blindly, you don't sit blindly, you also need to interact and to interrogate what the scripture says. So for today, we're going to end there. We'll be back and we'll be talking about the people that have been coming to church. But in the meantime, if you have been called into ministry as a leader, as a teacher, in whichever capacity God has given you, whether in the children's church, in the youth ministry, in the teenagers ministry, to with the elderly, the senior people, whether it's as, you know, a lay pastor, it doesn't matter which and what capacity you've been given by God. The thing that you need to remember is you've been called to serve. You've not been called to master. And may God give you the heart to love the people of God as God loves them. This is just a message out there to every leader, to every minister of the gospel, whether in the music ministry or teaching in the word, in whichever capacity. Let's remember we're called to serve. We're called to serve. And so it's always difficult to sign off. I have never really known how to sign off this, but it's really great. Thanks for listening in to today's podcast. This is Marianne. Always excited to have you. May God bless you. May you think, may you meditate on the words that we've spoken today. May you think about it and ask yourself, do I have a role to play in all these things that have been going on in the church? As usual, may God bless you. You're valuable. You're important. I love you. Jesus loves you more. See you at the top. Keep soaring. Bye-bye.